We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The official sponsor of the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network. UGA, Oklahoma.
Go, go, 3-3-3-3-3-3. Bang.
Let's take it to the field.
We champions.
You gotta prevent the bang.
Live from Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
The Rose Bowl, New Year's Day. Dog Nation, it's on. WCGC Atlanta and WZGC HD1.
An Intercom Communication Station.
Atlanta Sports Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
It's time to hit the morning sports news on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to the Kia Studios on this Competition Wednesday. John and Hugh, as we get ready to talk with head coach Dan Quinn in a few minutes, the Falcons head coach will join us live and we'll discuss the huge and incredibly important game ahead against the New Orleans Saints on Sunday in New Orleans. The interview will happen in a few minutes, and we have a chance to do some headlines first, so let's get rolling into those headlines. And the headlines are brought to you by Shane Company. Blow her mind, not your budget, with an engagement ring from Shane Company. Shane Co. is your friend in the jewelry business. As mentioned, it is Competition Wednesday. The Saints are just one quick note about the Saints. They have placed the linebacker A.J. Klein on the injured reserve. They will be without A.J. Klein. And you recall, Hugh, in the first game 2 weeks ago against the Saints, that there were a couple of Saints that went down in that game, including Alvin Kamara. But, of course, Alvin Kamara now back and healthy.
Yeah, they were dropping like flies and blaming it on Thursday night.
Yeah, and you know, the Falcons are just – you know, it's one thing about the Falcons. They tend to beat up the teams that they're playing. I mean, they are a physical bunch.
It's that time of the year. It's that time of the year. And you see in that the game against the Bucks. The Bucks are out there dropping like flies.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that when you have that kind of mentality, you gotta finish teams out. If there was only one thing – one critique I would have of the Atlanta Falcons right now is that they're playing down to the competition that they're playing against. There's no way that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers should have been in that game towards the end, in my opinion, in my humble opinion, with the Atlanta Falcons, the way that defense was swarming and you know, playing, and the way that they were dropping. There's no way they should have been in that game.
Of course, the Falcons and the Saints, our coverage will begin at 4:30 on, rather, check that. It'll begin at 4:30, correct, with the game at 1. It's going to be a 9 a.m. I'm so used to these night games. 9 a.m. WadeFord.com tailgate show with Hugh and Stan Norfleet and Andy Bunker and Knox Bardeen. That'll lead you into the pregame at 11 with Mike Conney and Randy McMichael. And, of course, a 1 o'clock kick in New Orleans with Wes, Dave, and John Michaels on the call from the New Orleans Superdome on Sunday. The Mercedes-Benz Superdome in New Orleans on Sunday. We'll have head coach Dan Quinn coming up in just a couple of minutes here as we talk about the Falcons and some of the storylines around the team. We'll get a health update on the Falcons as well. Meantime, bowl season about to ramp up. Here we are 5 days from Christmas, and the bowls are really going to start getting hot and heavy as we head towards January 1st in the semifinal games. Last night, kind of an interesting smaller bowl. The Cherubundi Chartery Boca Raton Bowl. Now, who would care about this?
Is that a real
name? Yeah, it's a real
name. You made that up.
Man, what bowl are you guys playing in? The Cherubundi Chartery Boca Raton Bowl.
We just got to find out what their swag bags are, because that could change how cool it is.
It doesn't sound like it was that cool, but I might be wrong.
A Florida Atlantic playing the game in its home stadium, all right? Lane Kiffin, before the game, gets a 10-year contract extension as the head coach of the FAU Owls. As for the game, the Akron Zips come down, and Florida Atlantic, on its home turf, does this.
Driscoll, out of the gun. Driscoll, handoff Howell. No, he's going to throw. It is caught in the backfield. Willie Wright, he scampers inside the right pylon. Touchdown, FAU! The blowout is on in the Boca Raton Bowl. Jason Driscoll, his second touchdown pass of the night. To Willie Wright, and it's 34-3.
Yeah, so that was Owls Radio. The game ends up 50-3. Florida Atlantic wins.
Damn.
in the Cherubundi Tart Cherry Boca Retombo, right?
They had to drop 50 on them, though. Was that necessary? Was that necessary?
Yeah.
Dropping 50. Let's give them 50. Let's drop 50 on them.
Let's get them.
And their swag
no friends bag. In the ring.
Their swag bag's pretty vague. All it says is online gift suite and an assortment of bowl branded items.
So basically, you got a gift card that you can go online. You got a certain amount of money.
Yeah.
Like probably
$200 And then you probably got a t-shirt that said, I was at the Boca Raton Bowl.
Oh, I went to the Boca Raton Bowl.
Is that what it says? I was at the Boca Raton Bowl.
I was invited to the Boca Raton Bowl.
They don't even get one that says
and
I played in it.
Crummy t-shirt. Something like
Agri
that.
Gets yeah. like, we showed up, got beat by 50-3 and left.
Exactly.
All right, but the bigger story is about Lane Kiffin. Anyway, all right, so a couple of bites from Lane Kiffin here about getting a 10-year contract as a head coach of Florida Atlantic. Here's number one.
I usually ask questions like after games, what do you feel about your future here? Do you feel like you're going to be safe for another week? And I remember those conversations. You started that direction. I was like, I had like a flashback. I'm like, God, we're actually safe at the end of the year. Pretty good.
And one more where he kind of takes shots. He is an interesting cat.
The next 520
weeks.
What is
yeah, so we'll be safe. Won't be on any projectors, on overhead projectors anymore, maybe for a little bit. Or fired at tarmacs. I think that really today, you guys took a while on that one.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, fired at tarmacs. That's what happened to him at USC. He gets off the plane, and Pat Hayden, the athletic director at the time.
Don't ride. Yep. Don't get on the bus.
Don't get on the bus.
We got you. Don't do that. Don't do that. I mean, I'm not like I know he's a strange individual, and he's a weird dude in a sense. But I kind of like that because it's like that's his truth, and he's not running from it. You know, I mean, he's been through some things, and to me, he's kind of embracing it. I kind of respect that because, you know, a lot of times people try to, when you fall on your face or something happens negative in your life, they always try to throw that back up in your face at some point, especially when you're doing well for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So for you to be able to joke and kid about that, you disarm people. Because they really don't after you if you don't have a problem with where you fell short at, nobody can come at you any kind of way. So I don't have a problem with that. I really don't.
You may have heard in the highlight the name Driscoll. That is Jason Driscoll, the quarterback at FAU, and yes, the brother of former Florida quarterback Jeff Driscoll. So Lane Kiffin gets a 10-year contract. The question is, will he stay there 10 years? The answer is no. He'll probably only stay there a year. I don't know what the buyout is, but he took Florida Atlantic to 11 wins, Hugh. 11 wins.
And he might stay there, John. I think that, again, you know, you reflect where you've been in your life. You've been at the top of the mountain, and you've been in the peaks, and you've been in the peak, and then you've been in the valley.
Right.
And I don't know, you know, who knows?
Right.
But for him to sign that 10-year deal, I give him the benefit of the doubt. I think that sometimes, you know, it's not about, you know, having the best job. It's the job that's best for you and what makes you comfortable. And I think that he's comfortable. For him to sit there in that press conference and be able to reflect on some of the things that he's been through and be somewhere where somebody is genuinely wants him there, I mean, that says a lot. Now, I might be way off base on this one. I might be, but I think that I heard a little bit of that in that press conference.
Yeah, and if that's the kind of person he is, then he should stay there. If he's just happy with being content and comfortable, then he should absolutely stay at Florida Atlantic.
Well, that sounds like a shot, though, right? Bo. A little bit.
But he's going to make you're going to make $1 million a year. You live in Boca Raton. I mean, life is good.
Okay. Again, that was not a shot, in no way, shape, or form. If that's who he is, where all he ever wants is to be just comfortable, then he should absolutely stay there. I have no issue with that. He wants to accomplish more, and he doesn't want to just be comfortable. He wants to, you know, go out there and have to still, you know, fight for things and really, really get his hands dirty. Then he does need to go somewhere else eventually.
Well, what'll happen is this.
That was a shot.
Well, he's going to get offers.
Really.
He's
yeah,
going to get offers. He will get offers at other schools. That will happen. If he continues to win 11 games in Florida Atlantic, that'll happen.
But maybe, to Hugh's point, he should do it like guys like Chris Peterson did it, where Chris Peterson stayed. Now, Peterson had it was a child involved in his, and I know that's what everyone's going to tweet in or whatever, and I get it. But he had a job. He won there. He built them. He stayed there until the right job, the mm-hmm. right fit, location-wise, right. for him came up. He took it. He's winning there now.
Hey, there's no greater example of that than Mark Few at Gonzaga when it comes to coaches. I mean, he is, you know, I stay at Gonzaga. I'm not leaving. Wednesday's a big day. Hawks play at home tonight, trying to make it back-to-back wins. They take on the Indiana Pacers. Our coverage begins at 7 o'clock tonight with the pregame show with Mike Conley. Tip at 7:30 at Phillips Arena. Tickets available at Hawks.com. The Hawks and Pacers at Phillips Arena tonight, 7:30 with Steve Holman on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Also today is the early signing period for college football players to sign their letters of intent. The Georgia Bulldogs expect that Justin Fields, a star quarterback at Harrison High, will sign at noon today at Harrison High to become a Georgia Bulldog. Trevor Lawrence is signing as we speak in Cartersville, the Cartersville High star quarterback with the Clemson Tigers. They are the top two players in the nation, the top two quarterbacks in the nation, and they happen to both be here in town. And both signing today, Trevor Lawrence signing with the Cartersville Hurricanes star quarterback with Clemson, and Justin Fields will sign later today at around noon with the Georgia Bulldogs at his high school at Harrison High School. Just some of the headlines this morning as we get ready for the Falcons and the Saints coming up on Sunday. Again, this game for the New Orleans Saints, if they win this game Sunday and the Bucs upset the Panthers, the New Orleans Saints will be NFC South champions. If the Falcons beat the Saints, they will knock the Saints out of the race for the NFC South title. So, and Tampa, and if Carolina wins as well. But it will be an amazing 2 weeks coming up to finish the season on New Year's Eve, rather on Christmas Eve Day, and on New Year's Eve Day with the Falcons at New Orleans and then home against the Carolina Panthers on the 31st. And so, again, we mentioned this earlier. This six-game stretch at the end of the year, Hugh, five of these six games were going to be division games. Tampa, New Orleans, Carolina. Well, the Falcons are three games into that five-game division stretch, and they've won all three. Ugly or not, they're 3-0.
Yeah, win is a win. A win is a win. And, you know, we sit here every day, and we critique the way that they play. But, look, bottom line is, wins are hard to come by in the NFL. And if you can get one, if it's by 30 points or 3 points, a win is a win. And you get to advance and you get to improve your schedule or improve your ranking or, your schedule and get another opportunity this weekend against the Saints.
Of course, the Falcons have won six of their last eight. They are now, of course, sitting at 9-5 on the season. And at the moment, the number six seed in the NFC. We mentioned this yesterday. If you missed kind of where we stand on this, all six of the playoff teams in the NFC, the Eagles, Vikings, Rams, Saints, Panthers, and Falcons, all six that are currently in, all won last week, which is an unusual thing. And as a result, the Falcons are fighting for the final wild card. Of course, they're still fighting for the division title because if the Falcons do beat New Orleans, do beat Carolina, they will be the NFC South champions. But as to the wild card, there are only two teams that can catch the Falcons for the wild card. One is the Detroit Lions, and the other is the winner of Sunday's game between the Cowboys and the Seahawks. The loser of the Cowboys-Seahawks game will be eliminated. As you look at those teams, you know, what's the one team I think right now that probably scares you the most? Doesn't it have to be the Cowboys with getting Zeke Elliott back?
To get in the playoffs?
Yeah.
Okay, I play along. This team that scares me the most is, I would probably say the Cowboys, because Zeke was a big part of their success, you know, early in the season. And when he wasn't there, you know, it was a different story for them. So, yeah, I say the Cowboys.
And they've done a nice job of kind of turning it around, because remember when they first lost Zeke after the Falcons beat him, what, by 20, and Adrian Claiborne had the six sack game, the Cowboys kind of, you know, struggled mightily, but they have really turned it around. They've gotten their act back together, and they've caught a little bit of fire. They caught a little bit of something.
They're still alive, which I'm not happy about. They're still alive in the playoff hunt. And, that's why I say I give them the credit where credit is due. Yeah, you know, they're a team that with their running back, he's fairly fresh. And they're starting to get healthy, you know, that's one of those things that you look at and like, okay, yeah, they could be a formidable opponent in the playoffs.
The Falcons and Saints, a 1 o'clock kick on Sunday in New Orleans. This, of course, one of the most difficult places to play in the NFL, always has been one of the most difficult places to play in the NFL. They always come out with those lists, Hugh, of the most difficult places to play. You know, I've only been to a handful. You've been to far more NFL stadiums than I have. But the Superdome was always right there with, like, Lambeau Field and Heinz Field. I guess the Lincoln Philadelphia is considered to be one of the most difficult places to play in the league. So it's always considered to be a really hostile environment. And, you know, Bo, you go there a lot. You've been to the Superdome quite often. I've only been to the Superdome for a college game. I have never been for a Saints game. It's never happened. I've never been there for that. So
it's loud. It's so loud sometimes.
It's very loud and fun and rowdy.
Boy, you can't even hear. Like, it get loud now.
especially Falcons Saints. It's rowdy.
I remember the Saints-Sations.
Yes.
The Saints-Sations, that's the cheerleaders. I remember that, like, vividly.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Thanks.
Saints and Falcons, a 1 o'clock kick on Sunday. We now welcome into the program the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, Dan Quinn, who joins us this morning on the WadeFord.com hotline. Morning to you, Coach.
Hey, good morning, John. Good morning, Hugh.
Coach, good morning.
Hey, Coach, you know, with the Tampa win, because I was doing some of the numbers, was the 10th time in these 14 games that you have played a one-possession, a game that ended as a one-possession game. You're 6-4 in games decided by 6 points or less. It's been 10 times you've been down to one possession. Is this something that's exciting for you, or does it just drive you nuts?
I would say, I told this to the team, I think it's a real blessing to have these close games because our toughness and our resilience has been earned. And this team's getting better, and they're battle ready. They are tough, and they love to compete. So as a coach, you know, knowing that you've been through, you know, the close games, the tough ones, we work our situation, football, end of the games, end of half, the third downs, every day. And so for us, knowing that we've been in those spots, John, we like that and know that that's a spot we're comfortable in, and we like to go into those spots and know that at the end of the games is where we need to be at our best.
You know what, Coach, this offense has been a little bit up and down all season long. What do you attribute that to?
Well, I think you're probably addressing the scoring part of things, Hugh, for sure, and that's the number one thing. From the explosive side of things, we're 2 or 3 in the league, something like that in terms of explosive plays. So I'd sure like to see some of those plays get extended into touchdowns. And then the turnover margin is something we've been wrestling with for the entire year. We had a couple of games where we were really out of whack, where we, you know, we're way behind in the turnover margin. So that thing we're continuing to work on. We liked the other night how our run game got active and got going. That part felt real familiar, and the physicality that goes along with running the ball well. Inside, I was smiling when you see Freeman finish those kind of runs, because that's really, you know, the toughness that we want to extend out to make it happen. So for us, we know what we're capable of. We're playing well on third down, Hugh, offensively, and Matt is kind of at his best in that environment. Mm-hmm. Blitz coming, check the play, avoid the rush, scramble to go. So I'm kind of different than everybody, where I see all the things that we are doing better, and that's why I'm so excited about where we're headed and for this matchup this week.
You know, speaking of Matt, Coach, you know, there's a little bit of a lot of people caught Matt on television being a little fiery. I don't know if you heard about it or not, but Matt has some choice words that he had to give to his receivers. When you see your quarterback get fiery like that, does something to you? Do you like it when you see your quarterback get a little animated out there in the huddle?
Yeah, 100%. And for those of us that are around him on a pretty regular basis, you know, we know that's his emotion and personality coming out. Hugh, he is a fantastic competitor. And his preparation, his toughness, it always comes out. So, yeah, that's him at the highest level of competing. And you know more than anybody, you know, when those environments and brings out your competitor in you, it's in him for sure. And those are just examples of that.
Falcons head coach Dan Quinn with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coach, why don't you give us an update? Now, one of the good things about your team so far this year, and we'll knock out for Micah, is that for the most part, the team has been healthy. Where do you stand with your health going into this game Sunday?
Yeah, for us, you know, we did good in the game the other night in terms from a health standpoint. We're going to work Levitre some back into practice today. We're anxious to see what could happen with him. Coleman is still in the concussion protocol, so we'll see where he goes for the week. I'm just, you know, following the medical advice on that side. But past that, John, we're in good shape, and we'll get back and ready to get rolling. So the guys do a real good job getting ready, mindset, heart, body, soul, for each week to play at our best. So we'll be that way again.
That's good news. We'll see about Andy Levitre. Hugh and I were chopping this up a little bit earlier, Coach, talking about the tackling on the team. I mean, it's evident to everybody watching. What is the issue right now with tackling on this ball club?
Well, we certainly had a play that was bad, and we had 4 on the long screen play, and then we also had 1 on a miss. But I tell you, I do like the physicality of the team. It wasn't as high as number as I had thought going in post game. You know, just kind of when you see it coming out. But the physicality that the team is playing with, that part is coming through. I think that was really evident on the tackle by Keanu Neal that forced the fumble. I love our speed. I love our physicality. We're always going to be working on our fundamentals. That's the way we come off the ball. That's our tackling. You know, those are things that we work on all the time. But Over the last few weeks, our tackling has been better. Let's not take the long screenplay out of it that got called back on the knee being down, but that was the one that if we had a play over from a tackling standpoint, that one looked bad.
You know what, Coach, given what happened in the last game against the New Orleans Saints, do you think the intensity level of this game will be ramped up even more, given what's on the line?
You know, the rivalry games, and now that I'm in, you know, going into my third year, I get to feel it more too. And so it's two, you know, just really good fan bases that love ball, love their team. So you know how much fun those are with that intensity, you know, in division games, and the fact that, you know, at home, on the road. So now that we get to be road dogs and go down there, we're pumped, and it'll be a great environment.
You know, Coach, I love the PC response because I can hear it in your voice. You can't wait for this game, Sonny. But I do. I respect the PC response. I really, really do.
Hey, we're humble, but we're ready to rock. I promise you.
Humble but ready to rock. Head Coach Dan Coon with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Does it help that you just played these guys 2 weeks ago in terms of preps on a short week?
I think it does because, you know, we don't ask the players, okay, remember just like – we have a process, John, that we go through that we really trust to get ready to play. So at the Wednesday, what we do, and we're just going to try and throw a hell of a Wednesday, all the first, second down stuff. So by going through the process, it takes care of the learning. What you do have familiarity with is how do I guard this player? You know, talking about individual players, not scheme related, but how you match up on a certain guy. How's the release going to be as a wide receiver? So those are the things that you have the familiarity with as a ball player of the guy you're playing against. I remember when I played him a few weeks ago, I did this move. As a coach, you go right back through, man, all the way from the very beginning. We talk about filling our bucket the whole week of the process, all the things you have to learn going into the game. We don't ever rely on, hey, let's remember from 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago. We just choose to go right back through it again, and that's what we intend on doing.
Coach, could you give a shout-out to your two Pro Bowlers this year? I was surprised it was only two, but you did have two, in Julio Jones and Alex Mack.
And I wish, you know, and I know you guys, you know, who come around to practice, you know, see the work that goes in. And, you know, Alex Mack and Julio Jones are fantastic football players. And what they don't get credit for, it doesn't show up on a stat sheet, is the teammates they are. And Alex has been right in the middle of it for 2 years, making calls downfield, his effort, his preparation. He takes his game as far as he possibly can go, and I really respect that about him. And with Julio, it's kind of the same thing, you know, off the field, what he is as a teammate to all the men in this building is really strong. The times he's played injured, the plays he's able to make, you know, he just embodies, both of them really do, all the things about this team that I have so much respect for. So it's always an unusual day. You know, when Pro Bowl voting comes through, there's guys that did, that didn't. But at the end of the day, it's still our team. And that's what we really celebrate for those two guys. We're happy for them. But then we kind of get right back to the process of getting ready for New Orleans.
And not only that, Coach, I want to piggyback on that a little bit. That says a lot about how much respect that Julio Jones gets around the NFL. Only three TDs. And you know, a lot of people that vote for this Pro Bowl, they only look at stats. And you know, he only has three TDs on the season, but his contribution and his impact on the game is tremendous. And it just shows how much love and respect that people have for Julio Jones.
Yeah, I agree with you, Hugh. And you put the tape on, and it's pretty clear to see in terms of the speed, the effort that he plays with. And he is one hell of a competitor. And so, yeah, sometimes the stats may not tell the whole story about who he is and what he stands for as a ball player. So I agree with you on that.
Coach Quinn, Dan Quinn. Dan, tell me a little bit about what priority number one is when you play the Saints. Is it now Kamara's back, Ingram and Kamara corralling them? Is it keeping Breeze from getting outside to contain? What's the number one priority for your defense?
Defensively, the number one priority would be, you know, can we force some turnovers, you know, to allow us an opportunity to be in the plus. So for sure that part is there. And then their running backs for years, John, have been a real factor in their pass game as well. They run the ball well, and like a lot of teams do, but the ability to get the ball to the runners, not just in screens, but the way they check it down to them, that's going to be a factor. So I'd say having the ability in the pass game, you know, to tackle, because they're going to complete some passes and make the yards after the catch small, that's going to be a real factor, you know, in this game for sure. But always line of scrimmage, you know, that's where it starts and that's where it always is. So I would say those are the things that we talk about on a pretty consistent basis when we talk about New Orleans.
On the other side of the ball here, you've had pretty good success this year in terms of running the football. I mean, Devontae goes down, Tevin comes up, has a big game. Tevin goes out, Devontae has a big game, and Teron Ward's done a really, really nice job. Who are you challenging on this offense to, because to Hugh's question earlier, who are you challenging on this offense to complete those, to turn those drives into points?
That's for sure, and it takes all 11. And so that's what you know, so significant about being a member of this team. Like, I do my job so you can do yours. And so let's make sure the effort, the toughness is really on point. And now we got to take the last tick up in our execution. And that's kind of the last little ingredient here, John, that we're going to fight like crazy to get to. You've seen how hard the guys want to play. The run game, that part's coming to life. And now if we can you know, convert on some of the explosives and turn them into points, I think that's going to be the real factor. So that's what we're going to work like crazy to do. In terms of, you know, scheme-wise, we've got all that we need, and now it's just a matter of us executing at the highest level. And on lots of plays, it takes all 11 to do that. It's the run game that helps the play action. It's the play action that, you know, allows the shots and stuff to go down the field. It's converting on third down, which that part of our game we've really challenged the guys on, and that part's certainly improving. So all sorts of stuff. That's why we're so excited. We feel like we're getting better as we're going.
Final question. You got any more classic boxing videos to show your guys?
You know what? There may be something that comes up on Friday, so I'll have to give the guys some insight on that one. But, yeah, there'll probably be something about, you know, fighting on the road and having a mindset for that. So I won't fill you in yet. I haven't told the guys. But I'll fill you in as the week gets over.
All right. We got you. Hey, Coach, we're certainly rooting for you. Good luck down in New Orleans. Go smash those guys again. And a very Merry Christmas to you.
All right, thanks, guys. Good to talk with
you. Head Coach Dan Quinn. He didn't want to give you – he had – what was it? It was the Gotti – what was the fight that he showed him last week? It was Arturo Gotti and somebody else. I've forgotten who.
Mickey Ward. It was the Mickey Ward Arturo Gotti trilogy.
Yeah, that's right.
And we had – yeah, because Coach is a huge boxing fan. We were speaking with him
a little bit yesterday. Boxing fan, right. And so apparently he has another boxing video he wants to show him.
Well, he's been doing it for a while. That's one of his. That's one of the things he talks to the guys about. Because, and you know what? To be honest with you, his video or the boxing analogy that he used actually came to life. Because if you know about boxing a little bit and you watch those Ward Gotti fights, they were just all out battles. And in fact, one of the I believe it was one of the fights that Gotti was fighting Ward. He broke his hand in like an early round and then went on to throw more punches in one of the like the later rounds, like in round seven, than ever in the rest of his career. So just shows you how that's kind of what Tampa did. They lost guys, and they kept fighting and made it tough for them.
Yeah, I think that's fair. You know, I mean, yeah, that's what you have with boxing. You have this kind of mentality. And you really can say the same about the Falcons because we started the interview. You were talking about the fact that, you know, 10 times this year the Falcons have played a game that ended in one possession or less, 6 points or less. The Falcons are actually 6-4 in those games.
Yeah, and you know what's funny? I related to something that he said in that is that, you know, it shows your resilience. And the Falcons have been resilient. I mean, they've had us biting our nails and real nervous during games, but they've gotten it done when they had to. So that does show their resiliency.
Well, thanks again to head coach Dan Quinn. Again, we'll be covering the team on a competition Wednesday at a Flowery Branch as well. When we get back on this busy day and a lot still to come on the morning show, we will venture into that area of the show known as Hughes World.
Yes, we play a critique, or have a critique session with John Michael's song. All that on the other side of Sports Radio 92.9 The Gerd.
John loves football. You played football. And trust me, together they talk football.
That is wonderful.
This is John and Hugh
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Do y'all understand that I played football 10 years in the NFL? So when I start talking like I'm talking, it's because I'm still in football mode, so back up off.
I don't understand it, bro.
No, but I'm saying that's what I'm saying. You know, you gotta stay focused, man. That's all I'm saying.
Only from the mind of Hugh Douglas.
You know, I don't know about y'all, but I like days like this. Days like this when we have winning songs that we can critique, and we can get Bo hating like Bo hates.
I haven't heard
every
this
week.
One yet.
No, I haven't. That's why I purposely, let me tell you what I do. I purposely, go home, and when his segment comes up, I turn the radio off so that I don't hear it because I want it to be fresh, and I want to hear it for the first time. And it sounds like Daryl's turning it out of music, so he's ready to go. So Daryl, go ahead, crank it up, and let's hear what John Michaels had to sing.
Oh yeah, it's a Falcons Victory Tuesday. This one was by request on the tarmac, getting on the plane. So blame somebody else. Now you can tell by the way we win close games. We're a hardened team, a brotherhood. Devontae runs, he shakes and bakes, and you can eat that dub some other day. And that's all right. We're 9-5, and we just won another game. We won't lose. Bring on the Saints. Time for all that N-O hate. It really doesn't matter how we got here, but the Falcons alive. Falcons alive. Playoffs are still in our control because we're still alive. Still alive. Falcons alive. Falcons alive. Falcons alive. That's it. Falcons Victory Monday.
Yeah, Falcons Victory Monday. 40 years old, that song.
I like how he went nostalgic on us. Anytime you win a game and you know you be that creative, I don't have a problem with it. I like the song.
He went in a different musical genre.
Yes, he did. And I had flashes of John Travolta with that white suit on with the black long feathered
nice
shirt.
Suit.
Nah, not really. With the bell bottoms and the big old pump suits, the pump shoes and the glittery dance floor. What was it, multicolored dance floor? Nah, it was not cool. But it was a good song. I liked it. Give it a thumbs up.
You know, a little pitchy there at the end. Well, he's always a little pitchy. The dog turns and looks.
Yes, and he got a little bit of some love on Monday Night Football. You know, you saw him on Monday Night Football. So yeah, he's winning right now. Got the most fiery hot tape, the most fiery mixtapes in Atlanta right now.
Shout out to John Michaels.
Where do we see him on Monday Night Football?
He was talking to Matt Bryan. He was talking to Matt Bryan on the sideline, and they were over there chopping it up. Yeah, after he kicked
maybe
that.
Maybe it was Matt Bryan's idea to do Staying Alive.
Maybe. We don't know that. We didn't ask. We didn't ask. Okay. So is anybody else have a critique? Wendy Bo?
I thought it was a great song. I thought the lyrics were great. Pitchy at the end, but you know what? John came up with some really good lyrics. Just tough to write, Bo.
I didn't know that this was you were critiquing these days on people's songs, Wendy.
Oh, I forgot. Okay, only Bo gets to talk about songs.
All right, Simon, what do you say?
Well, I was there when this idea was created. It wasn't my idea. I did say that I liked it, and I was skeptical at best. But after hearing it multiple times now, because unlike, I guess, everyone else on this show, I do listen to the Midday Show.
We listen, Bo, but we like and to I heard it first reaction.
I heard it. Wendy, this is my turn to speak, so just clear the lane.
Someone has been cranky since the beginning of the morning. I'm just saying.
You got, LeVar Ball cut over there, Daryl?
I would not use LeVar Ball for your doings.
So, that being said, I think that this was by far the best work John Michaels has ever done. And I am blown away with how well he performed this. I think he hit the notes well. I thought the lyrics were on point. I'm just blown away that he came out there and gave such a solid, spectacular performance. He's been garbage until this week, but I guess week 15, John Michaels peaked. And I hope that the team moving forward will find what John Michaels has put out there and use it as a example to move forward and make a playoff push. Because I know John's probably not listening, but well done. Bravo. Phenomenal performance. Blown away with how well it was. In fact, I am going to put this song on my playlist because you can get it off iTunes. All right, like our show.
You know what's funny? Bo has gotten to the point where
no, y'all created this monster.
Okay, I get that.
Because he wasn't like this before this show.
He's gotten to the point where you can't even tell when he's being like serious or sarcastic. I sense some sarcasm in those remarks. I don't know about anybody else because he went way over the top with his with his praise of John Michael. So I think that he was trying to be funny. I don't think he liked it.
Just
and I think he got
then.
A little bit of heat from people because they've been
be
bullied
angry.
A little bit.
Let Bo be angry.
I think he is a little angry. But I'm a little torn because I kind of like the fact that he's the way that he is now.
Well, look, hey, listen, I give him a lot of credit for going back in the day. It took me back for a moment to – There used to be a movie theater at Acres Mill, and we had to make our way across town and fight through traffic to get to see Saturday Night Fever in the summer of 1977. Yeah, so that was throwback for me.
What's up?
But, you know, I mean, look, it's not easy to do. I want John to do 6 more songs, and I don't care what, how good they are, how bad they are, whether Simon Kroll and Squid Billy likes them or not. I don't care. I want 6 more songs.
I ain't mad at you. That sounds like a pretty good deal.
Well, I got to admit, when you say it like that, John, I'm a little torn. A little torn.
Do you hope he goes in different musical directions every week, or do you want him to stay?
No, I don't mind the different musical directions. As a matter of fact, if he's taking suggestions, let's do country next week. Let's do country. That would be great.
And then the week after, we should do a pop song. A la Britney Spears, Christina
Aguilera. Let him do his thing, man.
But he took suggestions on this one.
Or that, what's that genre that they use, like using, where they use the glow sticks? What's that called?
EDM, electronic dance music.
Where they do the glow sticks, when they be running around with the glow sticks and blowing whistles and stuff.
Some cascada.
There's not normally a lot of lyrics in EDM, though, is there? I mean,
cascada does, hard. Absolutely.
But it's like it's repetitive.
Every time
thing.
We touch, I get this feeling. You could do that song.
I would love to see him do that
in the EDM music genre. Please, John Michael, do some EDM next week.
That would be amazing.
Or you could do awesome. Randy Newman, Swamp People Got No Reason. Swamp People this is Got when the, No
you,
Reason.
You just brought the show to a screeching halt.
Swamp People Got
That's your like old man at the table. John, you just you, used
we were doing okay
at Christmas dinner.
He just threw a turd in the middle of the table.
Hey, it was Randy Newman. Wait
eat
a second
it,
now.
Eat it.
Just a play of but
no, I'm just saying.
People. That's all.
I'm crying. Oh man.
Way to go.
You're welcome.
Hey, good
glad
talk.
I can contribute.
Good talk.
Today is early signing day for the colleges across America. Justin Fields is going to sign with the Georgia Bulldogs to go alongside Jake Fromm. What does that mean for Jacob Eason? We're asking on social media, and we're going to discuss this as we continue next on The Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 99.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.